In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, reporting to you live from New Jersey. We are going to get into the top brand of 2024, American Riviera Orchard.
Obviously.
But before we get into that, I have to say, my mom bought and I'm going to use a brand new Qi straightener. And I'm really excited.
I don't know if Christmas came early or late this year because we're not close either way, but I feel like that is some Christmas morning joyful news. I remember discovering the Qi flat iron until I bought like a Hitachi. It was the most expensive, appliance, I guess, like personal appliance that I had to have for many, many years. None of you even knew I had curly hair. It was one of the great loves of my life.
And can't you still hear the sizzle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the little split ends that everyone had because of the over-straightening of the hair. I used to wake up at 6 a.m. every morning so that I could wash, blow dry, and straighten my hair every single morning. Like, I didn't know that you could, skip a day.
That's so funny. Also, I feel like that's sad in a way to me because, like, sometimes skipping a day actually brings you that little extra oil texture that makes your hair look really, really cool. But, I admire your discipline. And I also think in some weird fucked up way, it prepared you for a life in news.
Yeah. I mean, I was unable to wake up that early for the last job I had, but
maybe if you had a Qi straightener, though, it might have been different.
Right. Did you you did have one?
Not only did I have one, but I one time kneeled on it, clamping all of the skin on my knee to the bone. And while it hurt like a motherfucker, do you know what I did immediately after?
What?
Finished my hair.
Oh my God. It was the 2000s and you weren't messing around.
No, dude. I was not about to go to the hospital without the other side of my hair finished.
I would have done the same exact thing. And you still bear the scar to this day?
I bear it. It's a massive scar. Despite all of the vitamin D oil that I have rubbed on my knee for the last 20 years, but I do feel like on some level it's sort of like probably 25 years, but it's a battle wound. Like, it's like, no, you did at a certain point really care about your hair. And I'm sure that I got little pieces of my knee skin in my hair that day at the hospital, but if anything, I think, yeah, if anybody ever challenged my commitment, hear me now, I finished my hair.
I always think of this one time because those things got so hot, and
so
one time
hot.
my dad screamed at me because he burned his hand on it. But I was like, why did you grab it tongue first?
From the inside.
Were you curious? Like, he literally just like stuck his hand on the tongs and then was like shocked that he burned the skin off himself. And I was like, that's on you, actually.
That is burned skin on his hand because they did get so hot that there was no way that your hand could even be near it without feeling the warmth coming off the doing, like waving off of the, like, it's like when you see like a mirage in the desert, or it's like, it's just so hot that it's wavy. Every time you looked right above the Qi, it was like wavy because it was so hot. Anyway,
I hope it's still like that. I hope the FDA hasn't stepped in the interim. I can't wait to use this freaking thing later. But speaking of great hair, someone with great hair was photographed with Prince William last week. It was Kate smiling maniacally at the farmer's market. So once again, it's like a thing that they were trying to do to, you know, probably quiet suspicion, has ratcheted it up again.
Okay. So wouldn't even the people have like looked up from their table. And what's also interesting is when you sent me that video, I had just listened to like 9 different YouTube morning news programs from all across the British territories, where a huge part of the conversation was the son reported seeing her, but because we all respect the prince and princess so much that no one took a picture. Then, like, I guess this video came out, what, 12 hours later? TMZ, I guess, released the video. Why didn't the news release the video if there was video available? Maybe, I guess, TMZ had it first.
Because the British press... Well, the thing is, the Sun did publish the video, and that means that the palaces kind of tacitly were like, yeah, it's okay to publish this. You're not going to lose access if you publish this video. So I don't think it was... It's her. Yeah, it's her. They're not going to use a body double that's freaking insane. Like, that is so crazy. It just looks, she looks different. But the fact that it did run in The Sun, a very pro-royalist British tabloid, means that most likely Kensington Palace, William and Kate's PR team said, yeah, you know what? If you publish this, we're not going to hate it. So, like, they... You know, I think this was shot by a bystander unplanned. That's why it is so grainy. But the palace is kind of like, yeah, we kind of do need to get the word out that she's alive and functioning. So, yeah. And I think the people not looking up from the tables is probably because they were there all day. William and Kate have been there all day. So they probably saw them.
It wasn't like, oh, my God. Right, right.
Yeah, they're probably like, let's act natural. Like, we're over it. And... I just don't know what I've never been that happy at a farmer's market. They're smiling. Her smile is, oh my God, it's beatific. It's crazy. And she's carrying shit, carrying bags. She's in, you know, scrub clothes, as we would call them in Delco. And she's like so happy. And he's so happy. So that also makes it seem like the video itself was an inside job.
Like, they were okay with it.
They were okay with it. Either they saw the person shooting and allowed them to shoot, or...
But they're like, faces on, there's someone shooting.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll never know. I do think, after this is all said and done, we do need to raise the bar for what counts as a newsworthy photo or video, because...
Bro.
I'm sick of this grainy shit. The one that I saw on Deux Mois of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on a pier, it looked like a spotting of Bigfoot. You couldn't see a single thing. And it's like, who cares? Why do I care? Why am I supposed to care about this picture? I can't see a thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess, like, yeah, luckily their silhouettes are so specifically tall that it's like definitely them. But it's like, that's really it. I'm still okay.
And it's like, okay, now what?
My head is swirling with directions to take this. Well, they were showing that, like, they did stuff together. All right, like, cool.
Like, of course they're doing stuff together. Was that in doubt? It's like, what are we doing?
I mean, if we're just going to rip apart the news real quick, the other thing, if I could make this plea, while Molly makes the case for no more of these shitty photos, I'd like to make the case for every single time that Taylor Swift, now in Karma, says the line, guy on the Chiefs, coming right home to me. Can we not have it be breaking news the next... Taylor Swift sweetly changes the lyrics yet again in Karma. It's like, that's what the lyric is now. This is Taylor's version. Yeah. That's the lyric. It's now going to be that forever, even if they break up. Like, this isn't news. It's like, whoa, she does it again. It's like, we know she's going to do it every time now. Surprise.
Nothing's happening. There's not enough news. The celebrities have gained too much control over the narratives. And
that's interesting.
It's now considered bullying to publish anything a celebrity doesn't want published. So none of the newspapers or magazines or blogs are actually, you know, looking into anything or critically thinking about anything. Everything is this PR sanctioned. I changed the lyrics again. And it's like,
right. Tell everyone.
Right. It's just so boring. And it makes me wonder how we're going to press on with our project. But
we'll simply have to read books is what we'll have to do. But
we're gonna have to read books.
We're gonna read books. But and we could do like Patreons of just like astrology readings if it comes down to it. If we must. But the thing that so I have a few questions that have come up for me throughout this. First of all, LOL everybody calling it Watergate. I just think that's sort of funny. But
oh, I like that. I didn't see that. That's good.
Watergate. Yeah. I just wish, kind of similar to Orchard Brand, which we'll talk about in a minute, I feel like I wish water was more part of it. Like, what are you doing, Kate? I don't know. Water Kate's not, it just rhymes, but I still like it.
Yeah,
or
when
Kate
I
Gate.
actually
It's a
worked
pleasure.
when I worked at a when I worked at a local newspaper, there was a big scandal in one of the towns with the water supply, and then we like put on the front page Watergate in Manasquan or whatever town it was, and it was
we
like,
love to see it.
Okay, it's not a pun if it's just still the same word,
right?
Like, it's not,
right. Watergate
doesn't really
isn't actually just hard, just what it was before. It's got to be like Water Margate.
Yeah, it's got to be some like Soil
yeah.
Gate, you know. And even that is
right.
It's so funny that it's become a shorthand for a scandal, because Watergate doesn't really mean anything. It's just the name of the hotel.
It's just the
and
name
now
of the
we
building. Yeah,
yeah, we put gate on the end of everything for a scandal. It's such a funny modern thing that we do. But yeah, like
Yeah.
Watergate is not a good one. It's just
everyone's calling
what
it
it
Water
is.
Kate, which at least does have a change in the name, but it still doesn't make like full sense, other than that I guess it's
Oh,
like
yes.
a scandal exposed.
Water Kate is good. I approve of Water Kate. That
Better
is
than
what it is.
Watergate in Margate or
Right.
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Manasquan. Lol. Okay, so a few things that I would like to discuss. We listened last week to that. I loved it. That podcast episode with the ex-Suns reporter, recovering Suns reporter, something which is cute, editor. And then one of the old PR guys from, I believe it was Buckingham Palace. Now,
yeah,
I found that to be highly educational. And they brought up some questions that they brought up some good questions. The first thing that I got out of that interview was, and
wait,
I think it's important.
We need to remember what the name of the podcast is, because
oh yeah, it's worth
people
a
might
listen.
want
I
to
can even
listen
put
to
it in
it.
the show notes. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
While Mai looks that up, the biggest takeaway that I got from it is, number one, when they're saying the palace, it isn't the palace communications. There's two separate palaces with two separate, completely separate communications teams. So anytime that you're reading stuff where it's like, and you've said that before on this podcast, but just it, you know, to hear it again was helpful, because it's like, how does the palace let something like this happen? And it's like, well, no, actually, this might be a situation where, you know, there's too many palaces and too many cooks in the palace kitchen that things actually go unnoticed in a way that, like, there's no checks between the two palaces. They're actually not on the same team. There's the Buckingham Palace, I ink all over me, that's good. There's the Buckingham Palace PR team, and then there's the Kensington Palace, which is Kate and Will PR team. Then they were saying that, correct me if I'm wrong, I got the impression that they were saying, I actually don't think that Kate edited that first 16 error photo. I think some intern who, like you said, was getting underpaid did it, and then she actually took the fall. That was something that they were sort of asking, like, is that possible that that's what happened, because of otherwise the what seems like a pure lack of strategy.
Oh,
now
no, I didn't get the impression that they were saying that.
I'll
I think
have to
they were
re-listen. Maybe
saying
it was something else I was listening to. I've listened to everything now, but
they were probably saying, like, maybe could it be possible, but I
yeah,
don't think it
but
is.
I think they were just speculating. I think they were just saying, how did this happen?
I don't think anyone who was an employee would have done such a shitty job on that. They would have been shitting their pants if they had fucked up the photo that badly. They would not have sent it out. It had to have been a principal. It had to have been Kate. Like, I don't think they're
right,
lying.
Because like it's just like bad mom, like try, like using the editing software work. Like, she just doesn't really. She was just having. She actually was honest then. You think she was literally just having fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the other headline that I keep seeing now that these Watergate photos have been released, is that this is all part of a longer term Kensington Palace rollout, like re-rollout of Kate strategy, which doesn't fully make sense to me, only because I guess the real question I'm asking is, why doesn't Kate, like, is she on Cameo? Can we be like, Kate, prove a life? Why doesn't she throw a phone up in her face and say, hey, you guys, thank you so much for all of your concern and speculation. I'm shitty at Photoshop, and I'm also healing, but I'm alive and I'm fine. Why doesn't she just do a quickie, like hello video?
Because that would lower them to the status of all of the crazy people on TikTok who are theorizing. It would dignify that craziness. It would dignify that craziness with a response. And they would rather stay above the fray. That's why.
I see. That makes sense to me.
Also, think about when you're dealing with an abusive person or a narcissist, the best thing you can do is go gray rock. You just say to them, no, I'm not going to do whatever you want. And you don't give an excuse. You don't give an answer. You don't give an explanation. Because if you do, then that toxic person is going to pick it apart and wear you down by finding holes in your logic. So that's why the queen came up with never complain, never explain. She might not have came up with it, but it was her motto. But that's why it was never complain, never explain, because you just, what is that saying? You can't wrestle with a pig because you get covered in shit and the pig likes it. When people on TikTok are like, I know it's a great saying.
I just have always heard it like, because you get covered in mud. I never heard anything, but like, I like adding that the pig likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. The pig likes it. That's the whole thing.
That's right.
But yeah, it's just, if they were to do this, then it sets a precedent that, oh, whatever crazy rumor you start about us, we are going to respond. So it makes complete sense that they don't do that. They're supposed to be better than that. Like they really are supposed to be above it. And it wouldn't
this is the
really
same thing you were saying with why don't they? Well, you're saying this is why they also don't sue as much, because it's like if they were to sue every time something was printed, when they don't sue, it becomes like visibly noticeable. So in this case, right, it's like they're not going to respond because it's like it would just look like not only that, right, that they were listening and a part of the internet culture that was like asking something of them, which we don't care, but also that then every single time anything happened, they would then set a new precedent of like, we respond to the internet, which they don't want to do.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, not a good look to be dabbling in these theories and everything. It's so much better to just be like, this is so beneath us that we won't even respond. Also, if they did, it still wouldn't be good enough for most of the people that are putting this out. It still wouldn't be good enough. They would poke holes in that. I mean, they tried to do that with the Mother's Day photo, and they messed up massively by putting out something so edited. But even if they had put out something that wasn't a, you know, borderline fabrication, it still would have had the same level of scrutiny. So that's why they're just kind of like, you know what? We're not even going to indulge people with this. We don't owe it to anyone, because most of the people speculating like crazy aren't even British. So
right, it's all America. America's gone wild with this.
I know. It's really, someone said it was Pizzagate for wine moms, QAnon for wine moms. And it is. It's like liberal QAnon. It's really crazy.
One of the conspiracy theories that I heard that I didn't think was like toxic or bad, I also don't think it's true, but I sort of just liked the, even if it's just like a happy accident, the synchronicity of it, like that it could be true, which is like, what better way to get the world like interested in the monarchy again, other than like a mystery, where's the popular queen? Like, not that they meant to do it, but that.
Why would they want the world to pay attention to them? How would that serve the British royal family for the entire world to be obsessing over a potential scandal? That's completely no.
Well, so the thing that I was listening to that someone was saying was that it's possible that when Kate does roll out of hiding and kind of makes everyone feel sort of silly for doubting them, that on some level it will like reestablish. Whereas like maybe right now there's some like question of like, is the monarchy wearing thin? Whereas if she comes out of this going like, hey, all you guys were tripping, but all good over here. I just had to, you know, recover from my planned abdominal surgery, that then they'd go like, whoa, like we're idiots. And actually like they are like, that's royal behavior. And like, they're setting an example of like how they are better than us. And I don't know. I don't know if it makes sense, but I like the,
No, it's just, she really had surgery and is recovering. Like they didn't, they're not doing this with a plan for here's how it's going to come across. You know what I mean?
Right. It was literally just surgery. And now everybody's like, what's going on? It's like, she had surgery.
Yeah, exactly. But we already talked about all of this.
Yeah.
What we're talking about now is this Windsor farm trip.
I don't think there's much to say.
I don't think it's not a body double. That would be so crazy.
Well, so what has come out of this Watergate farm scandal is that two Kate, quote-unquote, body doubles, like lookalikes, who have been paid professionally to do paid Kate work, have come out of the woodwork. But in my mind, it's like, what is this, at Disneyland? Like, do, because you were like, oh, celebrities sometimes have body doubles. Like, is body doubles even a thing?
You would probably hire them as a joke for like a bachelorette party, or, you know what I mean?
Stormy's next birthday, fake Kate's going to be there.
Right. Like, it would be just a joke thing. You would hire them to walk around.
It's like mascottery.
Yeah. 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 Let's talk about Megan's new brand, American Riviera Orchard.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a freedom fighter. So it makes complete, it makes complete sense that the next step would be sell plates at Target.
So is that the plan? So can you walk us through a little bit about what this new Megan brand deal is? Because it sounds similar to what the TIG was, except now she'll have products.
Right. That's it. That's it. I mean, I have relate.
That's it.
That's, I think, what it is. It's hard to tell because I do think the rollout, it's hard to say if the rollout was, you know, they had to jump the gun early because of a leak, or if it's just a characteristically shoddy Sussex rollout. You know what I mean? This is kind of, it's not really unheard of that they would roll something out and people have a lot of questions and they just never answer them.
Totally.
It's happened before.
Kind of par for the course. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we have is like a grainy video of her, you know, preparing something. They have filed trademarks for a lot of different things, a lot of spreads, jams, jellies, nut butters, things of that nature.
Okay.
So yeah, it's going to be really a lifestyle brand. And it's just what I really relate to with Megan is being in your late 30s and trying a fifth career.
Yep.
That to me is, I'm in. I do that. I do it every day. Every day I have a new business idea and I don't have the money to start them all and leave them in the dust. So instead I just forget them. I love that Megan is able to pour hundreds of thousands of dollars into her latest whim and then forget about it later. That's the next step that I'm trying to get to.
That's goals.
Yeah.
Ultimately goals. Yeah. I totally, well, and I also totally relate to, as a late 30s fifth career, that like there's also this sort of like reverting to the beginning that ultimately you come back to in a way, because it's sort of like, well, this did work then. Like, it's not like a new career. It's in the wheelhouse of stuff that has worked in the past. And then now it's just a revamp of this thing that worked in the past. But that's a really slippery slope.
But it was a blog in the past, though. And a blog is so much lower stakes because the overhead cost is so low and there's no inventory.
True.
There's no inventory for a blog. A brand like this, where you're selling physical stuff, the problem with that is you have to order a shit ton of physical stuff. And what if no one buys it?
Right.
Like, think about the planning that's required for actually knowing how much stuff people are gonna buy. It's really hard. And you can be wrong every time. And people are wrong every time. That's why TJ Maxx exists. God bless.
Literally.
You know? Yeah. And like,
yeah.
How much of this stuff is going to end up at TJ Maxx? And is this a crowded field? I mean, yes. The things that they're going to be selling, like, we have the things that she seems like she's going to be selling, we have go-tos already for all of these things. But right. I will say, the name, American Riviera Orchard.
Yeah, what do you make of the name?
My first instinct, obviously, was to make fun of it because it's word salad. But Megan is the queen of word salad. She's the woman who said, women don't need to find a voice. They need to be empowered to use it. And the rest of us need to listen. It's just like, what?
Blah,
like
blah, semantics. Blah, blah.
Everything that comes out of her mouth, you're just like, okay. Like, semantics. You know, you're just like, I guess these are words. These words make sense. They go together and there's a subject and a predicate and it works. Right. There's probably too many adverbs, but it just never really is that, you know, groundbreaking of a statement, which is fine. You don't have to do groundbreaking statements when you're, you know, selling lifestyle stuff, which I think makes it a good match for her. But then I realized American Riviera Orchard, It actually is word salad-y enough to work. Maybe.
Say more. Say more.
It's very clunky. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean anything. It's utopia. It's everything and nothing at the same time. So
yeah,
it kind
well,
of,
American Riviera kind of has a, that there's sort of something there where the American, you know, it's not, they're not in Europe anymore. They're in America. And this is the Riviera, I guess. And orchard, right. I guess, meaning like there's lots of different apples to choose from, even though by apples we mean apple butters.
Yeah. Well, allegedly what I heard is Santa Barbara is the American Riviera. They have proclaimed themselves as that. I mean, I don't think that it doesn't quite work for me because it's the Pacific coast. A Riviera is kind of a sea, like it's sort of calm water. Like, yeah. I don't really think of Riviera as the raging Pacific, but apparently someone decided that it is. So, okay, sure. American Riviera. Right. And then orchard. I don't know what kind of biome you need for an orchard. I don't know if it's on the beach. I didn't think it was.
I do not
but
think
what
it
do
is.
I know?
I mean, we I know mean, because we're from New Jersey, where there actually are a lot of orchards.
But like, yeah, where I live, there wouldn't be an orchard because the soil is too sandy. So you have
right,
to be
but
inland.
Like Central Jersey is known for corn, tomatoes, and orchards, apple orchards. But
right, it's not on the coast. You can't have an orchard on the coast.
You cannot.
So I don't know. Archwell, archetypes. It's always a clunky name with them. But I mean,
yeah, this is the Duchess of Sussex, and we know your name sucks.
Yeah, even their title is clunked. I felt so bad when they got that title.
Duchess of Sussex sucks. It sucks.
Clunky. I bet you if they stayed in, then whenever the king, if they had stayed in the family, then when the king went up, they probably would have, because he, I think he was planning to save Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh for Harry, because that is like a much more, you know, that title sounds better. It's very esteemed because it was Prince Philip's title. Now that title is going to Charles's brother, but it didn't automatically go. So I think they were kind of planning, let's upgrade Duke and Duchess of Sussex to something that's a little bit less of a mouthful after the coronation. But obviously that wouldn't happen.
And did I read this correctly that actually they've now been removed from the royal family's website completely?
No, they're still on there.
Where there was like a title change or something? Something changed about the way that they were. We could check real quick. Something changed. I saw a headline that was saying that something changed about the way that they were being pushed out. Because I guess that's interesting too. It's like they are still part of the royal family. They're just not working royals, right?
Right. Yeah. They are like technically related to them.
While you're looking that up, I also have another question that has come up for me throughout this Catergate. Like, are we, because it is a taxpayer funded public position, the royals, are we entitled, like, how much privacy are they entitled to?
Right. I don't know. I think it's just a matter of opinion.
Right. But ultimately, like, they are just people. And if she says, hey, nobody's looking at me for 3 weeks, it's like, so be it, so it is. It's like,
right. I do think with medical stuff, nobody really needs to know, but obviously everybody wants to know. But then with other things, like, I don't know. It just depends on the person. It doesn't really matter what we think because they're going to do whatever they want.
100%. And I also think per Kim K's offering into the lexicon conversation where she's like posted that thing, like looking off to look for Kate or whatever. It does buttress your theory that actually Kim is hard siding with Meg. Like Kim is not a royal stan. She is a Meghan Harry peripheral friend. And that there was a reason that she, aside from just being like current, that it was in some way maybe like a nod to Meg going like, LOL, no. Where's Kate? No.
No,
you think
I don't
it was
think
just
so.
Trendy?
Because I don't see why that would, like, Meghan wants everyone to completely forget that Kate ever existed and that she was ever in the royal family. You know what I mean? Like, she's not trying to, Megan's not like in a war against Kate. She's just trying to do her own thing. So I think if you were friendly with her, the worst thing you could do would be to bring up Kate in a public forum. Like, the best thing you would do would be to just pretend the British royal family has never existed and you've never heard of them. Kind of like Megan when she met Harry.
She was like, oh, Prince, what? Wow. I didn't even know there were Prince and Princess anymore. Wow.
We don't have that. We don't have that in America. And it's like,
okay, well, whose face was on your money in Toronto, though?
Right.
Ever heard of the Queen? Lol.
Yeah. I'm going to say, though, also, like, Meghan is so pretty and she's so aspirational and she always looks so great that I will probably buy stuff that she's I will buy into this hook, line, and sinker. I think a Gwyneth Martha Stewart hybrid is like a great place for her to sit, and I think there would be a little bit less snark about it if any of the other stuff they had already done had worked. Do you know what I mean? And like, especially if they had a really vibrant functioning charity apparatus, like a nonprofit apparatus that they had been really pouring money and attention into for all the years ever since they left, for the last 4 years. Instead, it sort of looks a little dead on the vine. Like the filings are not really inspiring much confidence. So this lifestyle brand comes across as a last ditch money grab instead of as a way to keep the lights on so that we can keep doing our nonprofit activity, which would have been a much better look. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost like it is all too relatable as just like a late 30 something being like, I gotta have something going by the time I'm 40. Like, it doesn't seem related to nonprofit or like funding all the things they do at all. It seems like I gotta do something with myself. The kids are gonna go to preschool soon. Like, I gotta get my life going again. That's like it.
It comes across as a money grab, which is fine. And like, this is America. God knows all we're doing day in and day out is money grabs. But when your brand is sort of built on, but I guess they're pivoting away from any sort of carrying on of Diana's legacy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was sort of the drum they beat for the first couple of years since they left. But the nonprofit and charity stuff has seemingly fizzled out. So maybe they're just kind of like, you know what? We actually can't afford this. Like, we actually need to keep the lights on in the 16 bathroom mansion, and charity ain't going to do that unless we are in bed with some.
They're their own nonprofit.
Right. Unless we get into bed with some real suspect oil barons or something. You know what I mean? Like, we actually can't spare the money for the charity stuff like we thought we could.
Everything you just said, though, like, they can't spare someone suspect. Like, if anyone's born to be sus, it's the Sussexes, the Sussi, whatever. That's so funny. And also, I was thinking dead on the vine. Good thing it's not American Riviera Vineyard, because then they'd be really fucked, as they are dead on the vine.
That would make more sense, maybe, because it's California.
It actually would. Northern California, yeah.
Like, it's California. There are vineyards. That would make more sense. But I don't know. I'm sure they have. Here's the other good thing about the name. The abbreviation is ARO, which is pretty good abbreviation, I think. Like, I think if you're saying, oh, this is ARO, that sounds good. I like that a lot.
I feel like it's just, again, it's hearkening back to the late 30s nostalgia of all those years we pretended to like OAR.
I did like OAR. I did.
So did I. Went to a few concerts, PNC. But I also liked them more because the boys liked them the most. At PNC, we probably went to the same concerts before we even knew each other existed. How cute is that?
Oh my God, yeah. And we were just drunk rolling down that hill, yeah.
You know, I actually remember when I met you thinking you looked familiar to me. Now it kind of makes sense. I bet it was at like AR, like Dispatch concerts, even Brandy. But I went to PNC all the time. And yeah, we would be like chugging beers or shotgunning beers in the general admissions grass area. No one had shoes on. So fun.
Right. At like 15. Yeah. And you're like, how is no one pissed about this? Like, someone's going to die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. And then you'd always like meet the guys who'd be like, you're only 15. Like, it's okay. Like, I'll spot you a beer. And it's like, LOL. I actually snuck like cask, with not casket, flask. Whoa. I actually snuck
a casket.
That's like RIP whoever died at home. No, but like, no, I like, I snuck flasks in my bra, but like, thank you so much for this, like, $30 beer, older guy.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that's confusing is the fact that it's American Riviera Orchard, but the logo looks very much like a royal cipher.
I didn't see the logo. Hold on, pulling this up.
It looks like a royal seal, you know? And then underneath American Riviera Orchard on the Instagram, it says, by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex. And it's like, well, wait, are we American or are we British? Like, it's not a strong brand to do it that way. And it's just, once again, like, do you remember when they first left the family and Harry had his first big speaking engagement and someone was like, oh, it's Prince Harry. And then he said, just call me Harry. And everyone like jizzed their pants over that. Like, that is the energy that needed to happen. Like, no, we are not Prince, Duke, Duchess. Like, we just are normal. Like everybody else, we hate what that family stands for. But instead, continuing to use the titles, it just says, we actually love the privilege that we get from being part of that family, and we're not ready to give it up. And we still, you know, titles are a way to show that we're better than everyone else. Sorry. Like,
totally.
You can spin it any way you want. And to still use it in America is like, oh, come on. Like, we got to let it go.
By Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex. Now, first of all, I just want to say, per what you just said, yeah, everybody lost their shit when he was like, just call me Harry or whatever. Except that, if you recall, we got some BTS info from, I believe, speaking of Snoopy, Dak, not speaking, we weren't talking about Snoopy, but we got some BTS info from Dax Shepard, who said that,
right,
like, when Harry's people, whatever, said Harry's on the way up, and they said, make sure you call him Prince Harry. It was only Harry was allowed to say, call me Harry. It's the same where it's like, I can talk shit about my mom, but you can't talk shit about my mom. It's like, I can say I'm just Harry, but you better call me Prince Harry. Like, actually, that isn't right. Like, true across the board. It's not, he's not Harry. He's Prince Harry. Get it right.
He left the royal family and still continued to deputize his staff to tell people to call him by his title. I mean, get over yourself. Like, that was hearing Dax Shepard reveal that at the tail end of his podcast. That was the beginning of me being like, oh, these guys are kind of full of shit. You know, like,
totally.
Get over yourself. You have a name. You're a human. It's not, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, it's just so funny because it's like, it takes away any of that fun from like, oh, he's a cool dude. Like, he just said, call him Harry. It's like, well, when we know that actually everybody is teeing him up to say, it's kind of like, you remember when you were a kid and there'd be those parents that would be like, even like my parents were never Mr. and Mrs. Armour. They were always Meyer and Andy. And if any kids came over and said, hey, Mr. Armour, he would say, call me Andy. But I did have a certain respect for the kids that every single time would say Mr. Armour, and every single time he would be like, call me Andy. Because I totally get just like needing to check on that. Like,
yeah.
Are you just in an Andy mood today? You know what I mean? Like, I do appreciate that, like, that Randy still calls my father Mr. Armour, and he's always like, Randy, it's Andy. We live in the same house. But like, he called him Mr. Armour and he still does. And I think it's respectful.
I know. I have a really hard time calling my in-laws by their first names, but they insist on it. And I'm just like, this goes against everything I was ever raised to do. Like, I can't call an adult by their first name. It just seems so rude. Like, I hate it.
Or just like, let them tell, like, believe- every, let them set up the day by saying, call me whatever. Like, let them do it for the day. And then it like expires that day, like you're sharing your location.
Daphne's little friends are going to just call me Molly, and I'm going to be like, shut the fuck up before I drop kick you. Just kidding.
Mrs. McDade to you, kid.
Right.
You know, it's cute side note, speaking of which, my mom thinks your name, you know, she's a little dyslexic, but it's sort of like in a creative, it's not like backwards, it's like just creative reading. And she thinks your name is Molly Sunshine.
That's cute. A lot of people think it's Molly Moonshine.
Oh, sun and moon, beautiful.
Yeah.
Orchard.
I guess from what I just said, I would probably be the same way as Harry with my title. I would probably also be like, but I think the difference is I wouldn't have people on my staff going out and telling people to call me Princess Molly just so that I could then publicly say, Oh no, don't worry about that. Like, I think that's the thing that's so like lily livered and
Exactly.
gross. You know, it
Exactly.
would be so much more respectable if you either just stick to the title or don't force people to call you by the title, which I guess now he's not even doing the charade of just call me Harry anymore. He's not. He is like, no, you use my title. I actually am better than you, you know?
I think, yes, and I think that this, so I'm looking at the American Riviera Orchard. I'm sure that was not taken. Instagram, the only thing written is by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex. It's almost like he's sending his wife out first, being like, tell everybody that we're going by the Duke and Duchess again. Just make sure everybody knows that's what it is. And also, I'm looking at
No, they
this
have been ever
monogram.
since. Sarah, he only did the call me Harry thing one time.
Oh, I thought that was like his shtick out in the world.
No, it was once. And then I guess he was like, oh, I didn't like how that felt. Back to Prince, please.
Right, okay, fair though. I get that. This logo is the most royal looking. There's nothing American about this logo. This could not look more palace adjacent. I'm blown away.
Yeah. And also, it says Montecito in big block letters underneath American Riviera Orchard. So I guess all the rumors about them moving are unfounded.
Yeah. It's just funny. Like, I imagine her, like, either she designed this herself or like she's with a designer going like, look, don't say anything to anybody, but like, just give it a, we want it to sort of look like it could have come from the palace. Like, how would you communicate like what your brand vision was to someone and it coming out like this without saying, make it look like some high-end, you know, monogrammed the handkerchiefs or whatever. Like, that's what it looks like.
There's a little plume on top of the A that looks like a
Yeah.
crown. Like
Yeah.
it's got plausible deniability. Like maybe it's the NBC peacock, but it is crown-esque. You know what I
It's
mean?
crown-esque, and then like the way that it's coming around is like sort of sword-esque. I mean, this looks like a royal crest. Yes.
Yeah. I will say.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's very luscious. Like if you click into the website, like the close up of the fabric is like, ooh, I want to feel that. I want to feel
Ooh, I'm
that.
looking at it now.
Yeah.
And I do think that's actually sort of a nice idea to have. Like, clearly, right, this is clearly a picture of fabric. It is not like a web backdrop. It's not just white backdrop. It is fabric, which I do think is a nice
I
touch.
really like that. Here's the other issue that I think she's going to run into is like, she needs her brand to be upmarket. And this looks upmarket, but who's going to pay upmarket prices for this brand new thing we've never heard of? Her original fan base was people who watch Suits, which is not really upmarket. It's
Right.
very, very mid-tier. So I don't know if
100%.
she might have a hard time converting the fan base to this upmarket vibe. Now, maybe what she's going to do is she's going to sell stuff that feels upmarket for a mid-tier price. I think that would be a really smart move, but I also think
Yeah.
it would be a bit of a blow to her ego because it's like, okay, you're the discount duchess. You know what I mean? Like,
Ooh, now that is good thinking. Discount. Just isn't it would be a nightmare. I don't even know if she thought that through, but that's what they would call her. That's genius.
that's going to be the New York Post headline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a thousand.
The minute anything goes on clearance, it's going to be discount duchess. And just even if that is the brand, like if that's the brand out the gate, high quality stuff for a low price. The other thing is, where is this stuff going to be manufactured? That is a can of worms as well that will leave her open to criticism. If she's making it in China using, you know, unfair labor practices, underpaying people, if you want your brand to be affordable, that's basically what you have to do. What she really like, I think what would be very welcome would be if she's doing a Made in America lifestyle brand. I think people would love that. And that's so needed. And that's the kind of thing that like that would really you would feel good about buying it. You would feel people that aren't royal fans or aren't Meghan fans would still be interested in something like that. But when you're doing if she's going to do something mass produced overseas, now you're just kind of joining like the Chrissy Teigens and the Jessica Albas of the world. And you just have such a great opportunity to be above that. That's what drives me crazy. And it's like, she had such a groundswell of like support behind her. And I don't know, it just gets squandered at every turn, you know?
I guess that begs the question, like when you're saying that she's going to sell, you know, jam and apple butters and fig spread, etc. That to me doesn't strike me as the kind of stuff that she herself would be producing as much as maybe she would buy wholesale and then distribute. Where, like, so I wonder how much of the brand will actually be like her designing and mass producing goods specifically, like this like ARO for Target stuff versus like go on the ARO website and download my favorite or buy my favorite nut butter. And also, is there going to be a brick and mortar location, or is this simply just an online, basically like affiliate? It could be just an affiliate marketing like website in a way where it's like, these are my favorites.
Like white labeling things, you mean? But
I
think she is going to actually produce stuff because that is, you know, where the money is. And I think any brand, there's a big question of like how much of an original idea really was this and how much of it was just the factory saying, hey, here's ABCD, pick each one. And then we put your ARO label on it. You know, like I was at Target yesterday and the amount of brand new beauty brands that I've never seen in my life. I was like, what is this? Like, someone needs to look into this because these brands are just getting launched and then they disappear into the ether and then a new one comes in its place. Like, it's almost like someone has realized at Target corporate that what people want is new brands to spend their money on. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're just kind of cycling the exact same products with new marketing and a new logo every 6 months or a year. Do you know what I mean? Because it was just like, you have this, you had the staples of like L'Oreal, Revlon, you know, those kind of things. And then there was just in the center, you know, 10 new brands I've never heard of. And I'm like, how did they calculate that it was a good investment to bring in these 10 new brands? They must just be the same exact products as the 10 new brands from last year, from the same factory with the same ingredients. And they just gave it a new packaging. And I hope I didn't just stumble upon like a gazillion dollar idea that someone.
No, I actually think you did. Like, I'm literally, well, I'm blown away at the thinking. I think you're really onto something here. I hadn't thought about it in the past, but I completely agree. When we're talking about like affordable beauty products, so much of the fun is like trying a new one that you found. And also so much of the buyer experience is about product design. And like, so yeah, they could have had the exact same products, but then added like, do you even like Wet and Wild, which used to be like objectively it's like the cheapest, like they just recently did like a whole new rebrand and like it looks objectively cooler, you know, like,
yeah, but that's
like
the same brand. That's a stalwart brand from the 80s, which is normal to do that. But I'm saying, I think they're throwing out the brand and making an entire new one every year, like with a new name.
I'm just saying, even the tried and true brands are like trying to look different so that they're also just keeping up. But yeah, I agree with you completely. All of the, I mean, as a Marshalls aficionado, I can tell you that there are serums that come through Marshalls and then never, I have found serums that I love at Marshalls and been like, oh my God, I love this company. And then like Googled it and been like, you can't buy it anywhere. It doesn't exist. And it's never at Marshalls again. Like, I agree with you completely. I think that they're tapping into the consumer desire to like try something new and pretty. And then it's just over. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. Cause all beauty products are pretty much the same anyway. Like, marketing is so powerful and potent in the beauty world. The only thing you can do is go on reddit.com/r/skincareaddiction. That is the subreddit where people are actually out there in the trenches testing everything and figuring out what's worth buying. They're looking at the ingredients for all these products. If you put in the name of any $100, $200 product, they will tell you a dupe that is $20 from either Simple or CeraVe, or like there's like three that basically have all of the same ingredients as the big money ones. The only one I think that they always say there's no dupe for is creme de la mer. And everything else, you can find a dupe for so cheap. And you got to just go on Reddit, Skincare Addiction, because it's the only place where there's no advertising dollars being spent whatsoever. And there's no marketing. And it's just bare bones. All of these things are a variation of soap, lotion, and sunblock. You know what I mean? And like, you can find, that's the only place to find which ones are actually worth it and not just hype.
That's so interesting. I also want to say shout out Babs, my grandma Babs. Bathroom's full of creme de la mer. I love that she's the creme de la creme of la mer.
Oh, I still have never bought it before. I think now that I'm a mom, I deserve it. I should probably buy it.
Definitely. Oh my God. Yeah. Let me upgrade you.
Yeah. You mentioned what if there's a brick and mortar store. I would absolutely like jizz my pants to get into a Meghan Markle brick and mortar store. I think it would be luxury.
Even if she did it as like a pop-up to start, I think that's her best case of actually creating something sort of not, I don't want to say like long lasting, God forbid, but like, I feel like an online store that then like peddles their products to, you know, the big box stores or whatever. I don't know if that's what Target would count as, but like Sephora, like just like the mall stores. I think if she had her own, like the same way that like Erewhon has like a certain cachet to it, like I feel like she could create the Montecito version of that if there was a brick and mortar.
Yeah, for sure. I would love it. I think, I hope she and Kim are friends. I mean, we've said for years that they should be platonic soulmates. And
yeah,
I really think that like Skims has nailed it as far as celebrity line that actually provides something that nobody else is doing. Like they're doing things better than Spanx right now. And I think, and like on Reddit, when you look for the unvarnished true opinions, people are like, yes, there's XYZ Amazon dupe for Skims, but it's not the same. That's what people say. They're like, Skims has black magic that you will not find anywhere else. And the dupes do not do the same thing. So like, I don't know. I just think,
well, and side note, the interesting thing is all of the different brands of the dupes are all the exact same product.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, they all come from the same factory, but they all have different insane Amazon names. Like, the name of the Amazon nursing bra that everybody was obsessed with and telling me to try that I hated was Cupshe.
There's, like, Cupshe, Shapermint, like...
Shapermint!
You know, Skinny Girl. Like, there's, like, a bunch of different ones, and you're like, all right, maybe I'll try this one. Maybe I'll try... And then they all have the same ads. But it's like, I'm 190 pounds and I'm going to get this tiny thing on me. And then it's like cut to, they put it on. They're like, oh my God, my jeans are huge on me now. And you're like, all right, definitely. And then it's like, oh, I have this already. Like I'm literally looking at identical products and it's like, this sucks. I'm still, they don't fit me.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No,
I got a recommendation for Honey Love shapewear. And I tried one on at the Nordstrom in Cherry Hill. And Sarah, I almost broke three nails putting this thing on me, this pair of shorts. But when I put it on, it truly looked like I hadn't had a baby. It was insane.
What's the brand?
Honey Love.
But it was in a store is the thing. I think having something in a brick and mortar, especially Nordstrom, yeah, like high end
Nordstrom,
but in a store gives it more. I think that's like a sign of a better product
legitimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It legitimizes it. And if something is in Nordstrom, I am going to pay so much more attention to it. I don't know why.
I trust it.
I trust it too. Like, inshallah, American Riviera Orchard is going direct to Nordstrom, because then we got a winner on our hands. You mm-hmm. know, I'm really excited to see. I think she needs a real hero product. Like, for this to take off.
Wow. Yeah.
She needs one thing that nobody else has thought of before that's a little different, that becomes an instant status symbol that women will go wild for, and then it becomes like a diffusion line down from that. And I really, really
That's genius.
There is going to be something, you know, like maybe it's a version of a KitchenAid mixer that is way cheaper but just as high quality. Maybe she's going to go for like a Le Creuset moment and do cookware, which I would hope she doesn't, because Le Creuset is Le Creuset. We don't need another Le Creuset, you know what I mean? But
100%.
Like it needs to be a thing that becomes synonymous with the brand. And I'm sure she's gonna have something. She's gonna, because she's a smart cookie. She just, you know, sometimes lacks the follow through based on the last 4 years.
Number one, even as great as Le Creuset is, it is, there are piles of Le Creuset all over Le Marshalls and Le TJ Maxx too.
What?
Everything that I have that is Le Creuset, unless I just inherited it in this house, I bought it. I have a ton of Le Creuset stuff that I've got for my parents as gifts, and they're all from Marshalls and TJ Maxx.
Wow. Okay, I need to start going there.
So I'm just saying, even the greatest brands, keep your eyes peeled in Marshalls, folks. If you see anything creme de la mer, buy it. Like, who knows how well anybody's doing, you know, in retail anyway. I also think that's such a smart idea, right? She has to have, but it's like, what would, like, in my mind, if I think of like a Megan product that she, like, I think of it more as like a carb-free cookie or something, like something that is like family, but like health mindful, maybe. Cause also, like, if this is basically being called like the love child between Goop and Martha Stewart, well, Goop is already doing like creams. Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart is already doing cookware. I feel like the thing between those two that's missing is, and maybe like Pooch Lemmy tried to do like vitamins. I feel like she could do something where, right, like carb-free crackers, or like
she's not gonna
something where it's more.
She's not gonna do anything diet adjacent, because even though I'm 100% positive that she watches her weight, because she is like,
oh my god, amazing. Of course she
looks
does.
Amazing,
she's
and she's 40. She's not gonna ever admit that. That would be very much beneath her in terms of her public profile, because one of her biggest drums that she's been beating since the jump is being a feminist, and just in this really kind of vague, mealy-mouthed way of we don't need to find a voice, we need to use it and have people hear it. Like, just weird shit like that that doesn't really make much sense.
Maybe she'll do like little necklace, like bullhorns, like, or megaphones.
Yeah. Megaphones.
Hear me. Megan phones. Megan phone.
Yeah. She's not going to do anything diet adjacent ever. She's for sure going to do only like maybe artisanal, like maybe, oh, this cookie was made by a bee from my attic that only eats,
right,
you know, I don't know,
right,
gluten-free buckwheat. That she's gonna do, but she's never gonna do a diet thing.
Eggs from the chickens from our yard.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like the idea of Megan phones.
Yeah, Megan phone, like a megaphone. That's smart.
That amplifies your voice for women.
Okay, so you sent me this story from the New York Post, which is basically what I've been saying this whole time. These people are so underpaid, the PR staff in the palaces.
Yeah.
New York Post, Buckingham Palace lists a new PR role after Kate Gate, and the salary is laughable. The salary is $32,000.
Insulting.
To live in London, a major city that's not as expensive as New York, but it is expensive.
That better come with room and board and healthcare and all the things, like, and all meals are taken care of. I mean, literally $32,000 is just, that's less than I was paid at my first job out of college.
Wow. You were doing good right out of college. I was paid $24,000 right out of college. It was horrible. I could not,
like, how?
I couldn't afford anything. My paycheck after taxes was like $300 a week. It was so bad.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Yeah. Like, wages are all fucked up, and like, especially with taxes. And they're like, yeah, you're going to get it back. And it's like, I'm not going to get enough back. And I still can't eat dinner tonight. So, like, not helpful.
I'm not going to get it back. What are they going to sell me, a tank one day? No. We're not getting your money back.
Right. Like, no, I'm not getting it fucking back. Like,
it's in Ukraine and Israel. They're using it. Right. I'm not getting it back.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That is just such a hilariously low salary. It's like, of course there's like errors coming out of the palace PR teams. They are literally doing their second jobs all night.
Right. And the person gets 20% off at any Royal Collection Trust gift shops.
Wow, now that makes it worth it.
But this is just, it's just proving what I've been saying. I just need to say that again, because no one ever listens to me. These people are underpaid. That's why this was such a botched rollout. It's not a conspiracy. It's not like someone secretly dead. It's just these people don't make enough money to give enough of a shit or have enough expertise to do a good job with this, like, extremely sensitive thing with a psychotic public as well on top of it.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think, especially knowing that there isn't one like uniform umbrella palace PR team, that it actually is Buckingham Palace has its own, Kensington Palace has their own even more underpaid own PR team.
And they hate each other
for things. And can you explain that? Why do they hate each other?
They don't hate each other, but they are a little bit in competition. Like, Harry kind of revealed it in Spare, and I think he was telling the truth about how, like, the, you know, the Queen and the Prince of Wales and the Prince of Wales's heirs all have competing interests, and they all are sort of jockeying for the same space on the newspapers, even if they won't admit it. So those PR teams are not really working to support each other. And they actually get pissed off when things conflict, when, like, you know, the king was supposed to be on the cover of all of the newspapers for this thing. And then Kate accidentally plays tennis and everyone's so, you know, in love with it. And then she gets knocked to the front page and he gets pushed off. Like, there's a lot of intrigue that goes on with all of that. Oh, what do you think about the timing of this? People were kind of saying that there was something sinister in the timing of Meghan putting it out while Kate is obviously indisposed and all of these weird conspiracy theories are going around. I don't think there was any. I think it was just, I just think they're kind of bad at timing. I don't think that it was any sort of, I don't know, urge to knock Kate off of out of the news or anything, because that would be doing a favor for her right now to knock her out of the news.
Yeah, I mean, two thoughts. Thought number one is similar to, like, if the two palaces can't get their PR teams in cahoots, they're certainly not corresponding with the American Riviera's PR teams.
Right. There have been a lot of times when Meghan and Harry launched something and it was, like, right on the heels of something else with the other people in the family, and it did look a little sus. But I don't think this is one of the times. I don't think this is one of those times.
I'm dead for sus. I love that. I love that Sussex is sus. The other thought that I have, just like as an aside, is that we are literally edging up upon the first of our two eclipses of this eclipse season. This is eclipse season. And Meghan is a moon in Libra. What we have on March 25th is a Libra eclipse. And I think that that is something, like, I don't think that she was necessarily like planning with an astrologer, but I do think it's interesting that all of this is going on. Kate herself was born during a Cancer Capricorn eclipse. Meghan has a moon in Libra where the eclipse is happening now. I think that it's more like when you have a south node eclipse in your chart happening. So this is anybody that has Libra. I hope you can't hear the sprinklers that just went on, but
no.
And if anybody listening has Libra in a prominent dominant place in their chart.
I love when you say prominent dominant. Prom dom.
Prom dom. I love a rhyme. I just love it. But
yeah.
So if you have prom dom Libra in your chart, then what you need to know is that this week is leading up to what will ultimately be like a grand, almost like like the way that I think about south node eclipses, it's kind of like if you get your drain snaked, let's just say, you have some real shower drain problems. Okay. And somebody is snaking the drain to try to clear it all out. In that snaking of the drain, they may find earrings that have been lost or a bracelet that you thought you'd never see again. So there's things there are treasures that come out of a full on clean out of a drainage area. But in general, it is a. Yeah, drainage is sort of ick. Speaking of Kate, drainage. No, but
taking
like,
the drain, I feel like and your earrings are in there. Oh man,
I know you might. Well, depending on the quality of the earring, you may or may not choose at that point to either like throw them in some, you know, what was the stuff we used to put our retainers in? Not effervescent.
Alka-Seltzer.
Like an Alka-Seltzer thing. What's the name of the thing? It doesn't matter. But so for Meghan, who's having this eclipse happen on her moon, I think there's something interesting about the idea that she's like sort of letting go of who on a soul level she was beforehand for us. You know, not only was she Suits girl, then she became the girl that didn't even know the princes existed until she married one. And that was sort of like what she was famous for. So it was like TV, actor, relationship. Now it's sort of like she has to let that all go. The North Node is in Aries, so she has to let that all go so that she can actually start something brand new. In the sky right now, the North Node, where these eclipses both are happening, we have Mercury and Chiron. So the voice and the wound are with the direction that we're all supposed to be, or even being pulled towards, focusing on the Aries part of our charts. I think for Meghan, And for anybody that has Libra in their chart, the South Node eclipse that is happening in 4 days is a huge release of it is that snaking of the drain. It's a huge release of what was. And so I think what we're seeing with Megan is sort of a release of what was, or an attempt at that. And there might be something to the fact that even launching this on some level might hurt her. Not that she's not excited, but like, this might not be like, it might not be like, yes, actually, I know exactly what I'm going to do. American Riviera Orchard. That might be like, okay, I'm going to do American Riviera Orchard. But there's a part of her that is also letting go of the life that she thought that she had built up until this point in order to do this next thing. You know what I mean? It's like, this is actually closer to the TIG than anything else that she's done since then. And it also isn't anything in the realm of what she had been trying to build for her life, even pre-Harry and then post-Harry. You know, I feel like the thing that she really made clear over and over and over again in the why she's different, like, royal princess way, even though it doesn't really make sense because she's not. But remember when they kept introducing her as like Meghan Markle, like actor and philanthropist? And it's like, philanthropist. Like, I think she's letting go of all of the titles other than her literal married title name that is no longer valid, I guess. But like, I think she's letting go of like this idea that she is like above the people. I think she's like, all right, I need to have a brand. Like, I need to have a business and a brand. And I have to let go of this idea that because I married a prince, somehow I'm set for life. I'm not.
I don't think she's letting go of that idea. I think she's letting go of philanthropy for sure. But I think she's still, I mean, the act of building a lifestyle brand, it sort of comes from a place of I'm above you. It's not like she's not out here selling Lunchables. You know what I mean? It's going to be luxury items. And don't you want to live like me? Don't you want to be like me? Mm. The answer is yes, I would love to. I would love to have 16 bathrooms like you. So it's not coming from a place of like humility. And the thing that has always really fascinated me about her trajectory up to this point is how hard she worked to become a working actor and how quickly she gave it up. The way that she said, oh, a prince? Okay, screw it. What's acting? This is just been me the whole time. I've been a blogger and a business owner and a philanthropist because I went to Africa a couple times. Like, I never acted. What are you talking about? So that to me is like the big mystery of Megan. I just want to know why she said, no, we're not acting anymore.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say this, put a pin in that, read this astrology. The other thing that is interesting is that we have this first eclipse coming up, which are extremely unpredictable. So it's not even what her intention is, but it's more what the effect of the eclipse will be on her moon. But the other piece of that's interesting is that on April 1st, Mercury is going to go retrograde. So it would be interesting to see if whatever it is that she's launching now within the next few weeks, if and in what way even that plan shifts a little bit based on what we have not, like, we can't really, that's the thing with eclipses. Everybody keeps asking me, like, what does this eclipse mean for me? And it's like, you tell me afterwards. Like, I can tell you what area of your life it is going to affect. Like, I know in Megan's chart, I'm almost positive. I have it up here. Hold on, I can check. But let me just double check. So Megan Sharp, Libra moon. Okay, I was right. The Libra moon in her chart is conjunct Saturn in the third house. So this eclipse is happening in, you know, it's affecting her home. It's affecting her voice. It's affecting her Libra house is the third and fourth house, which is your communication and your local community. So in a funny way, she's like doubling down on Montecito is local. But then that eclipse is going to happen in, like, could there be a forest fire or a forest fire? There's no forest right there either, I don't think. But like, you know, could there be a fire that wipes out their home? Or could there be? I can't even predict. But there could be something that happens where all of a sudden the brand is now like, fuck, we have to like kind of rethink. Okay, scratch Montecito from the bottom of the orchard thing logo. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but there could even, and it could happen in private. It could be something where, you know, I don't know, she catches Harry on Ashley Madison or something. I have no idea, but like, there is something happening in the zone of her third house and her fourth house that is, and also for the record, her legacy in Aries, where the eclipse on April 8th is. So she's in a really faded portal of a career change, actually, or of a legacy shift. But I think the hard thing with eclipses is it's like you can't really control them. You have to just respond to them. So it'll be interesting to see if there is something that comes up that then she has to respond to that ultimately puts her on the direction of whatever her successful next project will be. Or even if like we think that she has like a signature product that she's excited about and then actually it's not that, like that's the kind of thing that could happen right now. But I do think because we're in this eclipse cycle that is affecting her moon and her home and her legacy, there are just unpredictable things that have yet to occur that we can't plan for that will be interesting to see play out in real time. I also think it's interesting that these eclipses are exactly square. Kate, who was born on an eclipse, her sun and moon and her nodes. So for there to be, when you see that square happening, that is the tension that we're feeling of like, where's Kate? Like it being a big deal that she said, hey, taking a step back while I recover is like maybe the most clear and basic. Like, I do think that actually is just what's going on. Like, I actually don't think it's that deep. And I think we're all, yeah, just fucking bored. And so, and we love like a conspiracy mystery, but like,
a low stakes conspiracy mystery that we also know that we're never gonna like, they are never, even if it were true, hey, Kate got stabbed by William and he shot that other guy because they were having an affair. No one would ever confirm it, and everyone knows no one would ever confirm it. And that's kind of why it's like the perfect conspiracy. It's the perfect thing to come up with a conspiracy theory about, because it will never be debunked. They're never going to address that because of the nature of who they are and the way they communicate. So you can cling to it forever. Like, people are going to cling to these theories forever. Even when she appears after Easter and she's fine and she discreetly mentions to someone on a walkabout that she is feeling better and it was an intestinal thing. Like, they kind of, one of the really respected royal reporters put out a report that she will most likely confirm what happened to her, not through a big speech, but through speaking to people one-on-one on walkabouts. She'll probably drip feed information, and then those people will kind of get the go-ahead to tell the press about it. And
interesting,
she's going to do that. And then, like, they're never going to say, oh, and by the way, you know, William shot Thomas Kingston. So that's why it's like, it's such a, why it's such a perfect thing to latch onto, because you know you're never going to know the truth. Even if the truth is the most boring possible version of the truth, which it is, it's, you can still say it's a cover up forever. And that's why this is so intoxicating to so many people, I think.
I agree completely. Right. It's such a fun thing to not let go of, because you don't really have to. And because now there is this precedent set of like, we don't really trust them. 16 errors. I actually think in a way it kind of makes us trust them more, because it's like, I agree with you. Right. It's like, there's no way that that anybody but her did this. It is clearly just the work of a person trying to make themselves look good and their family look good in a picture on Mother's Day. Like, it's like, I don't think it's that deep. And, but because there's now this like distrust, everyone's going to run with that. Like, who can even trust them? And it's like,
Yeah. I also want to bring up what you mentioned about the locality, the localness of American Riviera Orchard. It just, it's so true that she's trying to build a local brand that brings Montecito to the masses. But she just always is a little off. And what she's off with here is the whole point of Montecito is that it's not for the masses. And
you
nobody
took the words
else
out of my mouth. Yes. Keep going. Sorry.
Who lives in Montecito wants it to be for the masses. You and I have no idea what life is like on a daily basis in Montecito, because Montecito is where you go when you've gotten too famous for LA and you want to be alone. Like, Montecito is Greta Garbo territory, honey. Like, you're not going there to start
Oprah.
A lifestyle brand. But yeah. Oprah, Ellen. These are people who don't want anyone in their business anymore. And Megan, I think she still wants us in her business so badly. And it's like, she's just missing the mark again by acting like, oh yeah, I'm in Montecito now. Like, look at how amazing it is. Let me build a brand around it. Everyone in Montecito is going to hate her for that. Hate her.
And even,
you know,
even her thinking, but it's okay. Okay. But for the record though, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, the moon in Libra in her third house being like, like, I'm going to make this local thing, like my community, the thing, it actually might super backfire. Her local community is like, hey, don't advertise us. Like, literally, I just read an article about why Eva Mendez and Ryan Gosling chose to move to that area to raise their kids, because they were like, we don't want them to have like a typical Hollywood lifestyle. We don't want paparazzi around. Like, it actually is one of the most, like, the only thing I know about it is from Big Little Lies, where I just think every, you know, that's a show about,
but that wasn't
essentially.
That was
it was.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no,
it was. It starts with an M, but it's not Montecito. What the hell is it?
Oh, how humiliating for me.
It's farther north.
Oh, right. Where the Big Sur is.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What's it called? Oh, it's not Montecito.
Gotta think. It's at the tip of my tongue. I'm sure the listeners are screaming it at their steering wheel and banging on the side of the car. Why do you not know this? It sounds like Montclair. It's near Carmel, but it's not Carmel.
It's near Carmel. I want to look in my phone, but it's like, no, use your brain. Use your brain.
I know. We got to do it. We can do this. I've been there. My uncle used to live there.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Montepulciano. Malbec.
Yeah, I think that's it. No, I think it's Montepulciano Malbec.
Wait, I have a... It's not Santa Cruz. It's not... I'm looking at a map. It's not Mavericks. It's near Mavericks.
Monterey.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
All right. What were we even talking about? Montecito is not Monterey.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we literally don't know anything about Montecito other than Oprah lives there near the Markle Harkles.
Right. They want it to stay anonymous. Like,
yeah.
All of
yeah.
these. It's like, okay. So in my parents' town, Nick and I were walking like on the beach today, and he was like, why doesn't someone open up a big hotel on the beachfront? They would make a killing. And I'm like, because the town won't let them, because they don't want people coming in and out. Like, the town has actually engineered the beach experience so that you cannot come here if you don't have a house within a mile.
Literally.
Like, there's no rooms. There's bathrooms. You're not allowed to bring food. Like, it's designed to be exclusive while following all the beach laws.
It's one of the most severe beach badge policies, and they will check.
Right. And you can't bring food onto the beach. You can't, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. Like, you cannot drive from another town and park up for the day. Not really, you know?
Right. And that's like, right. And there are towns for that, a la LA versus Montecito.
Right.
You know, where like you can park in Bradley Beach and go for the day.
Yeah, Point Pleasant Beach. Yeah. You can go. There's a million bathrooms. There's bars. You can even drink.
And that's what
it's
for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like.
That's what it is.
It's like, yeah, no one in Montecito is.
Right. There shouldn't be like a Bayhead Erewhon. Nobody wants a Bayhead Erewhon or a Bayhead Hilton, because it's actually so local that it's like, keep it local.
Right. Exactly. And she's just. It makes me sad because she's missing the mark again. Like, no one, like, everyone in Montecito is
missing
getting
the Markle.
Missing the Markle. All right. Well, I think that was great. I feel like I got to go take care of my baby.
The last question I have before you go, Charles, everything's okay with Charles?
I think he has cancer. I don't think he's okay.
Right. But like, I saw that he was like back to work.
Yeah, but.
Okay.
I mean, work. He's not a
William. Get ready.
He's not a coal miner. You know, like, you can kind of work from your bed.
Right.
You're just signing off on stuff that people are doing in your name. So,
right. I'm present today. Tell everybody.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So.
All right. Well, great to know that he's just doing his work from home, which we all are doing these days. So they're just like royals. Royals are just like us.
Nothing wrong with a little WFH, you know?
Mm-mm. Oh, I had one other question.
Oh, what was it?
Read the farm. Why don't they have like if they were there, why don't they have like bodyguards or security?
What farm?
When the whales were at the farm and there was that one video taken, why aren't there bodyguards or anything?
There are. They're probably just following behind them.
They know it's tacky to be in the pic.
Also, there's no guns in the UK, so.
Oh, right. What's somebody going to do? Come at them? They're going to be like, yo, stop.
Yeah.
I love that.
But
love
yeah, there's bodyguards. But that also makes me think that, like, they sort of tacitly approved of the photo being taken because it looks very natural. And, like, you're not allowed to take paparazzi photos of the royals in the UK. The British newspapers have agreed not to buy those photos. That's why, like, whenever Meghan and Harry are like, we were hunted, like, in the UK, like, no, you weren't. Like, Meghan was, paparazzi were following her in Canada when she lived in Toronto. They follow her now that she lives in LA. But, like, the British tabloids won't buy paparazzi photos of the royals. They simply won't do it. And they've killed the market for it so that they can have privacy, at least when they're in the UK, you know? But so that's how you know that. The fact that that photo ran in the Sun is how you know they sort of approved of it being out there, because they know they have a huge crisis on their hands. And they're like if they didn't want it out there, they would have threatened the Sun with like a legal letter, but they didn't. So as far as we know.
Well, and especially after Photoshop Kategate, I think for the Sun to post, for the Sun to print it, they do have some level of security that it's real, because they're not going to post another like fake news photo.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I think it's Kate.
Yeah, it's Kate.
Also, of course, her face looks different than 2 weeks ago. That's what recovery's for.
I know. That's the thing. And like I said, last time we talked about it, my face, the difference in my face from a day after drinking until the day after the day after drinking, I'm a different person.
Bro, my arms even. Everything.
Right. Like, maybe she was thrown back with Carol the night before that paparazzi pic was taken. We don't know.
We can only
hope. Carol seems like she would be a hoot to drink with. So
totally, dude.
All right, join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. We update it sometimes. It's really more for moral support, though, if you join the Patreon. You're really sending a message that you see us, you love us.
That you don't want us to stop doing this.
You don't want us to stop doing this. You don't want me to have to get an office job because I can't afford daycare. These are the things that you're saying when you join the Patreon, and we love you for it.
And that being said, maybe I'll cut this, but we are bleeding patrons, so we should do a Patreon tomorrow if you're free.
Yeah, we could do it.
All right, very good.
All right. Au revoir.
Thanks, everybody. And Kate is alive and fine. Let's all leave her alone.
Leave her alone. Leave her alone.
Leave Kate alone. Where's that guy?
Three of our last five episodes are about her. Leave her alone.
Thank you, Kate, for disappearing.
I know. Thank you.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and your rings.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.